This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt.
I don't know. I keep trudging around this course with him. I spend the best years of my life with this fella. All he does, up the fairway, down again. It's a wonder he doesn't get me hold of the flag.
Sprague.
That looks fine until you hit it.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on The Fan. July 16th. Who says you can't talk football?
All football. We have our first Oregon complaint on the poll question today.
Really?
Not the poll question, but the poll. How are they a top 15 team?
Well, they're returning like 18 of 22 starters. So
hey, I'm just reading the comments, man. I had them at 13. I thought that was pretty fair of me.
I mean, they have maybe the best quarterback in the country coming back for his fourth year.
I wouldn't say best quarterback in the country. I think that has to be.
I said maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's a maybe. Oh. That's got to be Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you'd never take him over Trevor Lawrence. As of right now.
I don't think I'd take him over Tua or Trevor Lawrence.
Sure. Yeah, I probably wouldn't either.
But of draft eligible guys, because neither of them are.
Tua can go this year, I think, can he? I think Tua's...
Oh, yeah, Tua redshirted.
He redshirted one
year.
That's
right.
And then he started, so he's a redshirt... he'll be a redshirt junior, redshirt sophomore, whatever
so,
it is.
So, arguably a top three... It's not even arguably. He's a top three quarterback in college football, right?
Yes.
In terms of draft prospects this year?
Without a doubt. I'll give you that. Draft prospects, no doubt about it.
A lot of qualifiers I have to throw in this thing because of Trevor Lawrence and his perfect freaking football ability.
I know. I've been reading up on articles just for like future football stuff, and a lot of it is centered around Trevor Lawrence and how NFL scouts are just counting the days. The days until that guy's eligible.
If that kid wins another title this year... Because I have a feeling they're just going to run right through everything.
They do have an interesting game with Texas A&M early in the season in non-conference.
Almost lost that game last year.
They did. Now, granted, that was on the road. This one's at
Allen
home,
Field,
so they get him at home. But I do think A&M's going to be better than they were last year.
But if they can run through and he wins another title, I'm not playing next year. I'm leaving Clemson. I'll support my teammates, and I'm working out for you. I'm not playing a third season when I could play in the NFL. Because if he plays this well year.
You wouldn't want to go for a three-peat, though?
No.
Because who would beat him that year? They can win again this year, like they're just going to be as good next year.
The only argument you can make to saying, Sprague, you're an idiot, is he's still going to be the number one pick, even if he suffers a horrific injury.
Yeah, we saw Sam Bradford do it. He broke his collarbone in week one, and he was still number one overall.
What did he get, the $50 million money
rookie? He still got the old rookie deal, yeah.
Sheesh. Yeah, so maybe he does. I don't know, but it's all about Trevor Lawrence right now. Okay, we have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the show, but we were talking about Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts because Lincoln Riley threw out he might not start. Well, kind of just sticking with the Big 12 theme because they have Big 12 Media Day going on.
It's going on. Pac-12's right around the corner.
It is. It's coming up in exactly a week, I believe. Right?
I think so. Yeah.
Week from Wednesday.
Week from Wednesday. Okay, week from tomorrow.
But the Big 12 Media Day going on. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner for the conference, there were two things that I took away that he commented on.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was realignment because people have long wondered if the Pac-12 and Big 12 would realign and combine forces and make this mega conference. And I don't know if this is ever going to go away as a topic, despite what people like Bob Bowlesby may say. But he was asked about the realignment, and this is what he had to say.
Well, that would make 7 years in a row that that's been the first question. So congratulations. You're helping us set new records. We have had no discussion of expansion at any level. We like the 10 we have. We think the full round robin is the right way to conduct a competition. And in the case of our basketballs, full double round robin. We are distributing record revenues, and we have heretofore unanticipated media opportunities, and I don't expect that to be an active topic on anybody's agenda within the conference anytime in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, so he wants nothing to do with realignment. I love the, well, this is 7 years in a row you've brought it up.
That is pretty funny.
You know, aside from their, I think the way that their conference champion is decided, I do think he's right on everything else. It's nice to play a round robin type schedule where everybody plays each other.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to do that, doubling up in men's basketball, women's basketball as well. They are making record revenues. They're doing good financially. My only thing is, and I don't know who it would be, because I was going through the conferences and like the SEC has 14 teams. I would like to see them at 12. But I see his point, because guess what? I also love the Pac-10 when everybody played each other.
Yeah.
And the best two teams at the end, you just figured
out. Well, you didn't have that. Yeah, you didn't have
it. I'm saying it came down to like the last week, unless somebody pulled away.
And you'd have tiebreakers, that kind of stuff play into it. That's the only, and granted, you can get this in other conferences, so don't get me wrong there. I like, though, sometimes having and leading into a conference title game where the teams haven't met yet. Like, there's something about that that I enjoy. Like, last year, for example, you have a Big 12 championship game where Oklahoma and Texas are playing. Texas beat Oklahoma in the regular season. And the one thing we know, and we always say in college football, like, it's really hard to beat the same team twice in 1 year. There's a little more juice on the other sideline. They know exactly what you did, what worked against them, what didn't work. And it can be very difficult to do it, especially sometimes if you play a team late in a year. So that's the only part of the Big 12 model that I don't like. But you have to have a conference championship game because all the other major conferences play them. And it screwed them out of the playoff probably the first year when they said, we're going to have one true champion. And then they crowned co-champions at the end of the season in Baylor and TCU. And everybody laughed at them. They had no choice but to do this. The replaying of a game is slightly strange to me, but I do appreciate the Big 12 scheduling, playing everybody in your conference. I'm with you 100%. I loved when the Pac-12 did that, and you knew you were playing everybody in the Pac, or the Pac-10 did that, and you played everybody in the conference. And I appreciate them playing 9 conference games. I guess that's not, they don't have to make that choice if they don't want to. You can go round robin and miss somebody on your schedule and rotate who you don't play and give them 4 patsies in non-conference. They don't go that route. They play everybody in their conference, which I do appreciate. The expansion thing, at some point they're going to have to grow past 10 teams, you would think.
Do you think Nebraska should go back and maybe take with them like a Minnesota, then the Big Ten can realign?
I think the Big Ten's got 14 right now, too.
Yeah, 14, yeah.
And just sometimes, though, you expand just to expand. Like, why is Rutgers in the Big Ten?
Just to add more money.
That's Maryland. Like,
more money. It's all about money.
Like those kind of additions you just look at, and it's, you could do without those programs. Rutgers should be in like the Big East. Like, yep. They're not good at anything. Get them out of there. They don't need to be in the Big Ten. So you don't just expand to expand. You want to make sure that the programs you're going to bring in have a chance to make a difference. And to give them credit, West Virginia's done that, and TCU's done that in the Big 12 when they had to replace Colorado and Nebraska when they left. So maybe it's a Houston, but again, there's TV deals, and I don't know if they would want Houston there because then it makes it tougher to recruit against them. Nebraska being back would be cool, but they're kind of entrenched in the Big 10 at this point.
Well, the transfer portal is also something that's got some coaches not caring and some coaches pissed. Bob Bowlesby gave his comments on the transfer portal.
There's no short answer to that, Kirk, so let me give you the long answer or what I consider to be the gospel according to Bowlesby. I think we're sending a bad message to kids that they can have a bad practice or a bad week of practice and just decide one day they're going to walk out and put their name in the portal without talking to their coaches. I don't think that was ever envisioned, and it shouldn't work that way. It's not that way in your private life. It's not that way in your business life. And I just think we're sending a bad message. Having said that,
there is Bob Bowlesby on the transfer portal. That cut was a little bit too long, but that's, you know, basically just summing it up. It's just it's not good. There's too much of it going on, and you get into a situation where kids don't have a place to go. And I know we've talked about this a few different times, but you get commissioners that are commenting on it. That's when it starts to get kind of serious of, are they going to switch anything up or change anything?
Yeah, I think sometimes the fear that you get from coaches and commissioners is a little overreactionary. Like, anytime you introduce something, there's going to be unintended consequences. That's just the way that it works in life. And there was good intentions behind having this rule, and the unintended consequences was way too many kids jumped into the transfer portal right away. But I tend to feel like these, they're grown-ups, right? They're 18, 19, 20, sometimes 21-year-old kids that are trying to transfer from one program to another. If you're deciding to leave a scholarship away and go to another program without a guarantee of having one at another school, that's kind of on you. Like, some of these kids are just going to have to learn that lesson the hard way, and it's unfortunate that they will, but I do think this kind of stuff, it's going to work itself out. You're not going to get thousands of kids every single year jumping into the portal if they hear these stories about other kids who left their scholarship and couldn't find one. And thankfully, Bowlesby also highlighted the positive that there's a lot of kids without scholarships that are jumping into the portal and finding scholarships at other programs. So it's been a positive for them. I think you let this thing go. They're kids. You should allow them a little bit of freedom to play where they want to play with certain limitations around it. And if kids are going to make mistakes, you allow them to make their mistakes. That's the way life works.
Okay, there we go. Bob Bowlesby at Big 12 Media Day with his thoughts on a few different topics that have long been plaguing college football for a few months here. Okay, we're going to stick in the sport of football, but we're going to go to the NFL coming up next. How about future predictions? I'm just going to throw this at the text line. 55305, the Bet of You Today text line. What is the one prediction that in 3 years this is going to happen in the NFL? One writer dove into this, and we'll talk about some of the things he put in there next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in 117 on The Fan. We got NFL True or False coming up next. But Dan Graziano, a guy I like at ESPN, he wrote a piece yesterday forecasting the next three NFL seasons, 25 predictions through 2022. And, you know, he puts things in here that I think we all would agree on, like Mahomes will be the first $40 million a year player.
Yeah, that's pretty much a no-brainer, unless of a major injury or something goes sideways. That's a no-brainer.
Well, the third one down, I looked at this and I already went, oh, God.
Uh-huh.
Patriots win at least one more Super Bowl.
Not happening, Bob.
God. And this is the kicker. We'll keep hearing over the next couple months as I hit puberty there that they're vulnerable without Gronkowski. No, they may not win it this year, but they're going to win at least one more.
At some point, it's going to end. I'm not buying that. It's over. I'm dying on that hill.
This one not good for Giants fans. At least three different quarterbacks will start for them in the next 3 years.
Yeah, it's not putting much faith in the old draft selection, is it?
He tries to back off bashing Jones. He's like, this isn't a knock on poor Daniel Jones. But then he kind of says at the end, this is more of a homage to Eli and what his career was. It's far too much to expect the same kind of durability and reliability from his successor, no matter how well Jones plays. Well, he's a sixth overall pick, so he better try to live up to it.
Those are pretty lofty expectations. You're not like a third round sleeper. Let's see what this guy turns into.
I thought the Daniel Jones stuff was very interesting in how people reacted, and I got it. Like, you look at his stats, and he wasn't a great college quarterback.
No.
But now we're like overcorrecting too much. We're like, I think Daniel Jones is actually going to be okay. He's just not going to be a starter every game. That doesn't mean he's not a bust.
And I wonder how.
Yeah, actually it is. If you're top six pick, you're not consistently out there winning. You're a bust.
Right. What are people saying about Mariota and Winston at this point in their careers? Number one and number two overall, and they have a ton to play for this season. I saw a stat last night or a note last night. They're the first two guys since the latest CBA to actually play out the 5 years of their rookie deal. Every other quarterback that was taken, I think, in that area had received the extension before they reached year five. Like, that just doesn't happen very often. So, yeah, if you don't turn into the player that people think, you're going to get labeled a bust. That's just the way the position works.
Yeah, some more that he puts in here. Kyler Murray will lead the Cardinals to at least one division title.
Yeah, in the next 3 years, I'm not putting any stock in that, man. That is way over your skis. Kyler Murray could be okay, but Cliff Kingsbury is a huge question mark. And that division, are you kidding me? Seattle's not going anywhere. Like, when are we going to stop discounting them? That's a good football team year in and year out. They won 10 games. They're going to be right around that every single year. They've built up enough trust, and the Rams aren't going anywhere. And we don't know what the 49ers are going to look like. With a healthy Garoppolo, the 49ers could be a 500 or better team this year. So to say that they're going to win a division title over those three teams in the next 3 years, not buying it.
How about this one? Josh Rosen changes teams again.
See, I could see that, and I think his logic is accurate, because Miami's not going to be good this year.
Nope.
I think you're missing the boat if you're the Dolphins, though, and you don't start him. Like, what are you starting Ryan Fitzpatrick for? What do you get out of that?
Yeah, because Rosen started games last year. It's not like he's never started before. He's not
started the
rookie.
Whole year, I think, in Arizona, or unless he had a minor injury.
Didn't they have Bradford for like 2 weeks? And
he
then
probably got hurt like he always does, and then he stepped in. Playing Fitzpatrick's going to get you nothing. The reason, though, I could see that happening is if the Dolphins have a terrible season. I mean, if you land a top five pick and Rosen looks shaky, even though it might not be completely his fault, are you going to pass on Tua? Are you going to pass on Herbert? I know the Dolphins have been linked to Herbert a ton the last couple of years. So that's where I could see it. If you draft another quarterback, the same thing could happen to Rosen again this year.
God, that's a whirlwind of a career.
Isn't that brutal?
They're terrible. He doesn't wow you. And then you have a great pick, and you have Tua, and you have Herbert. It's like, okay, great.
See you
now
later.
We have to choose.
And you trade him again.
Julio Jones will be the first $20 million a year wide receiver, but not the last.
I could see that.
$20 million a year.
And teams are more, like we talked about this recently with the running back stuff, man. Teams are more and more willing to pay wide receivers than they are running backs. Not every organization, but the durability's better. You feel like you can count on them week in and week out. That's just the direction of the NFL.
We're reading Dan Graziano. He put on ESPN.com the predictions in the NFL the next 3 years, 25 predictions. I think this one's a very interesting one.
Okay.
Nick Foles will win at least one division title with the Jags.
Ooh.
The Texans have been hanging there as a regular season team. The Colts, I think, are back as long as Luck stays healthy and with Frank Reich.
People think this is the Colts. Like, this is a big boom year for the Colts.
I think this is a big year for the Colts. I'm one of those, even though they didn't really go grab that playmaking big-name guy
on offense. They got a lot of young talent, though.
Yeah, they have good draft picks. Their offensive line is really stocked up. But you look at the South and you've got the Texans, you got the Colts. And, hey, maybe Vrabel and Mariota get it figured out this year. I don't know. I don't think you can completely write them off.
They're around a 500 football team, it feels like, every year.
That division, it used to be the joke of the NFL, and now it's kind of one of those, I don't know about this. Nick Foles and the Jags winning at least one division. This is the next 3 years.
I might actually buy that, to be honest with you. The Colts are going to be the team to beat the next 3 years. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Injuries can happen, though, and we've seen Luck at times deal with injuries in his career. I think the Texans, I just don't trust Bill O'Brien. I think the way they ended last season, the playoff performance at home against the Colts, I think lost a lot of trust in my mind. It's a big year for Deshaun Watson to bounce back, I think, and get back to some of the rookie numbers. And look, you know how I feel about Mariota, man. I love that guy. And we were joking about it before the show because they were showing highlights of Tennessee season on the NFL Network. You can count on him for four really good games a year. And then you can count on him for an injury in like four terrible games and then two average games, and he's going to miss the rest. Like, until I see otherwise, I'm not willing to put stock in that the next couple of years. I do think Nick Foles is still a good quarterback. I think he proved it again last year. He just has to prove it in a different system and prove that he can do it outside of Philadelphia.
Nick Foles is my Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, not buying it.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Not buying it.
I'm actually rooting for him. He seems like a really stand-up guy.
Dude was a couple of plays away from another NFC title game last year. Because they won in Chicago.
That's right. They beat Chicago
on
the Cody Parkey field
goal. They were driving to beat New Orleans, and the ball went through Alshon Jeffrey's hands in the red zone, and it was picked off, and that ended the game.
That's right. Weren't they down 14-0 in that game, too, and they came back?
I believe so.
And then they had the Alshon Jeffrey drop, pick, game over.
Yeah, they were driving to take the lead in the fourth quarter in the right around the red zone, and he threw a pick.
Okay, which one would you put more stock in then? That he wins at least one division title in the next 3 years with the Jags?
Uh-huh.
Or the other prediction from Graziano that Green Bay will not win a division title in the next 3 years.
Oh, I'd put more stock in Jacksonville than Green Bay not winning.
Really?
Without a doubt.
Don't think Rodgers can do it 1 year?
No. I'm saying Rodgers can. I'm saying I'm not putting any stock in that. Green Bay, to count them out to that level that Aaron Rodgers can't win another division title in the next couple of years, I've said this before and I'll say it again on Chicago. I think they're a huge candidate for a drop-off season. They had an easy schedule last year. It's way more difficult this season. I don't trust Mitchell Trubisky. They still don't have a kicker. They've been trying him out all year. And as much as we like to make fun of him, that is an important part of football. And again, I love my boy Kirk Cousins, but there's a proven factor there. Like, go prove it with a lot of talent around you. Detroit's Detroit. There's no need to even bring them up. Like, to say Green Bay can't win an NFC North title in the next 3 years, get out of here.
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of going the other way on Green Bay. And you know what I think it is?
They're burying him.
I think it's really more, one, the durability didn't help, but I think it's ultimately, Who'd they hire? They hired Matt LaFleur.
Peter's brother, I know.
LaFleur.
Nobody makes his bleed about blood.
Like, sorry, dude. We saw your offense in Tennessee. Wasn't that great?
No, it wasn't.
Now, maybe he can get out of the way. But I of all my opinions that I've given, I think that's one of the, I believe the strongest is one of, is this. It's right up there. Is that I think a lot of the disrespect towards Rodgers and the Packers is because of their coaching hire.
And I understand that angle of it. I do. Because how you decide LaFleur is the next head coach, I don't understand.
Well, tell me this. Let's dreamland here.
Okay.
The Packers go, we're going all in. Rodgers has 4 years left of prime Rodgers. We can't waste this. We're going to go give Andy Reid $11 million a year.
Right.
They get Andy Reid to leave Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, which would be idiotic, but they get him to leave to come back to Green Bay where he once coached Brett Favre with Mike Holmgren. How many people are picking Green Bay to win?
Probably a lot more than are right now. I'll guarantee you that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It, to me, it has to do more with the coach than it does Rodgers.
I think you're right. I think it's partly durability. I think there's a lot of character stuff around Aaron Rodgers lately. The whole family article, the teammate stuff. Like there's a lot of noise that surrounds him. He can't chug beers, which some people downgrade him a little bit. But the coaching factor weighs into it too.
Yeah, you kind of should. I mean, he couldn't even drink like half a beer.
I know. You got to be better than that, A-Rod. Come on.
That was pretty bad.
I like how you're omitting the Kirk Cousins one. He has a Kirk Cousins future bet in there.
Oh, this is a stupid one. Kirk Cousins will re-sign with the Vikings.
Before his next contract.
Yeah,
goes
way to go, Kirkers.
He's arguing that Kirk Cousins is going to have such a good year this year that they're going to just rush to the re-sign table after everybody just made fun of that last contract. They're going to re-sign him next offseason.
Well, that's one team I'm really curious about, too, not just from the Cousins. And
there's no doubt about it.
Angle. They're a talented team.
Yeah.
And they very well could win the North and be right in this Super Bowl conversation. But most of that's going to hinge, I think, on the play of one Kirk Cousins. All right, we stick in the NFL with NFL True or False. That's next.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:31. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. Coming up in 15 minutes, I'm going to get really angry about something.
Oh, yelling at a cloud?
Yeah, I'm going to yell at a cloud. Is that okay? Can I yell at a cloud for a moment? Is that allowable today?
I can't even believe it.
I'm cool with that. I've been going through our, I only have Twitter up. I don't have the text line, but I have the timeline up.
Uh-huh.
And look, I love our listeners that follow us and we follow them back. I've been having to mute some of them because all I'm seeing is Trump or anti-Trump stuff all show. And I'm
a lot
like,
of politics.
Dude, I can't deal with this crap.
A lot of politics. I just turn on jazz music when I wake up in the morning. It's a good start to the day.
That's a great start to the day.
Nice little soothing into a morning.
I tell you what
coffee.
I don't do. I don't wake up and go, let me watch political news.
Let's get my heart rate up, right?
That's
going
to lead
up
for a great day.
We have to talk about kissing feet at some point on the show. You guys into feet stuff?
I'm not. I actually hate feet the most of any body part.
Not into foot things?
Feet are gross.
Okay.
I used to hate people when I'd have you'd hang out with your buds, have a sleepover. Yeah. There'd be a group of you.
Where are you going with this?
I would hate when my friends would go barefoot, and I had like three of them, notorious.
Uh-huh.
Barefoot, and they'd walk on your pillow with their barefoot.
Oh, yeah, that's disgusting. Don't do that.
Piss me off. I'd always have to flip the pillow. Sometimes they do it again as a joke. I'd sleep with no pillow.
Okay.
Feet, dude.
All right. We need to talk about that thing because there was also something that happened on an airplane with feet that needs to be discussed. And what should this man's social punishment be? We need to get to the bottom of that.
I know what you're talking about.
That was a whole nother level.
He should be banned for life.
Ban that man for life. All that's coming up, though. But now it is time for NFL True or False.
All right. You ready to roll?
Ready to roll.
The latest contract standoff in the NFL is now in Los Angeles. Running back Melvin Gordon not happy with the opening offer from the Chargers. True or false, Gordon will not be in a Chargers uniform week one of the NFL regular season.
Ooh. This is false.
I'm also going to go false. I think he's serious about holding out, not playing if he doesn't get it. He just strikes me as a real serious Le'Veon Bell type. But I think ultimately they're going to give him a ton of guaranteed money. Obviously, you're going to front load that deal. And he'll get what he wants.
Here's the tough part about trading him, though, too. Because I would love to see, I wish teams in this situation would just say, okay, we don't want to pay you. You don't want to be here. We'll trade you. Let's find him. First off, you'd have to find a team willing to give you the value in return that you put on Melvin Gordon. But you would also have to find a team that's willing to give him the contract extension. Because if a team trades for Melvin Gordon and they're not willing to give him the deal, they're in the same exact spot the Chargers are in right now. So it's not an easy trade to execute.
Do you think Pittsburgh looks back, though, and goes, damn, why didn't we try to trade him?
I think they did, but it was the same problem.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure about that because I see what you're saying with value. You're never going to get return value for guys that are this good.
But is the team trading for Le'Veon Bell, though, willing to give him what he got from the Jets? Because he's not going to play for that team.
No.
Unless you give him the extension.
Well, we don't know that unless they shopped him and they got told, we're not spending money on him either. In basketball, you get this a lot, like, hey, I'd rather trade the guy than lose him for nothing. See LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm surprised in football they don't think this way more often. I'm just like, hey, we're throwing you out, and we're seeing what we can get back because we don't want to pay and you don't want to play.
I think this is true. I don't think the Spanos family's going to budge, and I think Gordon recognizes if he can't, he's got to seize it now. So I think Gordon has more leverage in this situation than the Spanoses do.
You know what I've been wondering about the NFL, and this might be a whole other topic in its own right, is like baseball's going through this right now where guys are on really cheap deals early in their contract, and then by the time they hit free agency, you'd argue they're past their prime, and that's why teams aren't paying them anymore. I don't want to go back to the old way where you just gave rookies a ton of money when they were completely unproven and you get like Jamarcus Russell making $80 million, whatever it was. But I do wonder if there's a way to structure that so these guys can get paid. Like Christian McCaffrey right now, give that dude an extension.
He might lead the league in rushing and all-purpose yards.
Like that, he doesn't need to be on a five-year rookie deal. Like pay him now, and I think teams might be more willing to do that.
Here's what they should do when the collective bargaining agreement comes up. Is you will have a portion of money that's goes to the, for salaries be for contracts, and then have a bonus pool based on production.
Yeah,
and you get a bonus.
Hey, you're on this deal, but if you hit these things, boom, 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 you get a.
It's the age of analytics, so I'm sure there's nerds that can do regressions based on, and you have a bonus pool for, you know. For the players, and then you'll be paid partly on, you know, an acquisition or a, you know, to get your services, and then you have the ability to make X based on how you perform relative to the rest of the league.
How about after 2 years, you can renegotiate and give them a big contract if you want?
Especially with these running backs, man, because you're asking these guys to play on a five-year rookie deal before they can hit free agency. If they come in at 22, you're 27 years old.
When we knew year two, McCaffrey was a stud.
Right? We know it. Yeah. We've seen him. He's dominant.
Owners would go for it. I don't know if players will go for it. I don't know if they, because they're going to say, well, what if I get hurt? That's the big thing. That's why owners don't want the ability. That's why they want the ability to cut them. So we'll see. Angst continues to build in Big D over the lack of movement and long-term contract negotiations with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper. True or false, at least one of those three guys will be a holdout when training camp opens later this month.
Well, if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Zeke, right? Because we haven't heard anything on Amari Cooper and Dak. Look, I think Dak is smart in this way. He knows that as long as he's Jerry's guy, he's going to get taken care of. So, yeah, he might not be getting his $32 million a year that he wants because he's projecting his career forward. And Dallas is going, nah, I don't know about all this projection crap. But he's not going to show up. So I'm ruling him right out of there. It's between Zeke and Amari. I haven't heard anything on Amari Cooper being pissed to the point of holding out. All I've heard is Zeke. So I will say that ultimately, yes, Zeke will hold out from camp, but he'll report because I don't think he's willing to miss games. So,
yeah,
true.
I think this is true. There continues to be more smoke around the Ezekiel Elliott stuff. We might get into that later on in the show. It's hard to decipher if it's just being thrown out as red meat to the media to try and, you know, kick the can down the road or if he's actually meaning it. I do think he's going to miss some time. How much? I don't know. But I think Zeke will hold out for a little bit at least. So I'll say true.
Yeah, I'll say true as well. And Cooper might be there too. The reason he's quiet, maybe just letting him see what's going on. But
he's just a quiet guy.
He's a quiet guy, but I think he deep down might even be more than Zeke to. Because I can see Zeke showing up, but not doing much, but being there at media and making it a circus. The Texans and Jadeveon Clowney did not get a long-term contract signed by the Monday deadline for players that have been franchise tagged. True or false, this will be Clowney's last year in Houston.
Boy. I'll say true to this.
I will too.
If he hasn't shown you at this point what he needs to for a long-term contract, I'm not sure what more solid year will do. And now, granted, look, Bill O'Brien could be gone. There's going to be a new GM at this point next year because right now they don't have a GM. So maybe that new coach or that new GM feels differently about him. I don't think you franchise tag a guy like this back-to-back years. You don't want to start playing with that dangerous game. I ultimately think that this is going to be it for him, and for his sake, I hope he stays healthy so he can get a little bit of guaranteed money next offseason.
He has had back-to-back 9-plus sack seasons, 9.5 and then 9.
I mean, he's better against the run, too, than he is against the pass.
No doubt
rushing.
About it. He was really good for them last year. I know he was kind of held quiet and in check in their playoff game against the Colts, but he was a monster for them last year, and I think he's really kind of found his groove and his rhythm in the NFL. I think because of that Michigan highlight, we just assumed he'd be that every single game at the start. And it took him some time to learn the NFL game. There was maturity things that you could read about. J.J. Watt took him under kind of his wing and helped him. I think this is going to be it because the story isn't just that he didn't get a contract negotiation done. The story also is they reclassified his position to screw him out of $1 million.
He's a defensive end slash linebacker is what they classified him, which costs him almost $2 million.
So maybe he loves the city of Houston and he's got a bond with those fans and he wants to stay. But all I read about is J.J. Watt having those feelings. So I'm going to say, yeah, he didn't get a deal. He's going to play for 15.6. He'll go out and give you 9 to 12 sacks. And he's going to go, bye, I want out. I don't want to be here. Put me somewhere where somebody will pay me.
Well, yeah, I think this is true as well. Plus, he's going to file a grievance. The Players Association is going to use this and say, no, owners, you're not going to get to franchise him. And then, because you don't want to pay him long term, then nickel and dime him as well. This will be an issue. Right. It will probably expose some more issues going on in that Texans front office, which is a zoo with four associate co-GMs or whatever the hell they have doing. So he'll be out of there.
Died last year, too.
Yep. Finally, 49ers kicker Robbie Gould got his long-term deal done in San Francisco before the deadline on Monday. True or false, Gould will lead all kickers in points in the 2019 season.
I'm going to say that this is false.
Because you got to think Baltimore is going to be back in this conversation with Lamar Jackson, that offense not getting into the end zone.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, because he's not going to – the reason I say that this is false is because I don't think he's going to have as many extra point attempts as some other offenses because those add up. I mean, that's an extra point.
Oh, you don't think
point.
The offense is going to be good?
I'm not saying it's not going to be good, but is it going to be a top five scoring offense in the NFL?
If Jimmy G is healthy, do you think it can be? Because like, I do.
So extra,
if he's healthy.
Extra point attempts last year. In Kansas City, Butker, their kicker,
he
attempted 69 extra points.
Yep.
You know how many Robbie Gould attempted? Now, granted, I know injuries played a part of it.
29.
Yeah. That's a difference in 40. So he had 39 extra points just in PATs.
But... yeah, that's true.
So that's why I'm going to say I think they're going to be better than that if Garoppolo stays healthy. But I'm not putting him in the conversation of L.A. or New Orleans or Kansas City.
Yeah.
He might be the best kicker in the league, but this is false.
Well, and I you know, as much as you're pointing out the extra point, and I get it, you can't overlook teams like Houston and Baltimore who struggle and end up having to go to their field goal kicker more often.
They do.
I will say this is also false. He will not. He'll be right up there, but he will not.
Yeah, it'll be false. I don't know that 49ers offense will generate – as many scoring drives quite yet.
But even if he's healthy, Jimmy G's healthy?
Yeah.
You don't think that offense with Kyle Shanahan's going to be?
Not at that level.
Not right out of the chute. No. They might be better as the season goes on.
I'll put him in that second tier.
I think sure. It'll only be because he doesn't have as many
opportunities. We don't have any Brady, though.
He'll be in the top five.
His name is Jimmy G.
He doesn't miss.
He was supposed to be the new Brady in New England.
That's
until
right.
Tom told him to trade him.
Yeah, Tom said,
can you get that other good-looking guy the hell out of here?
I'm going to go win another Super Bowl, all right? There you go, NFL True or False every Tuesday at 1:30, including the take of Jason Swigard. that Melvin Gordon will not be in a Chargers uniform week one of the NFL season.
Yeah.
There's a quick one we can revisit. I got to go scroll through some of these because I bet we had some off-season stuff that was in there.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to go grade the
there's
last
probably
few.
Some start of training camp stuff, too, yeah. that was in there. Okay. So
keep
so
an eye on it next couple of weeks.
No, that's my hot take for the week.
There you go. NFL true or false every week. We got a couple more NFL notes to get to coming up in the final hour of the show. We have a few NBA things we wanted to get to. We'll see if we have time for it. The ACC network is getting rolled out, but is it getting enough flack for maybe what it deserves? Are you into feet? We can talk about that in the final hour of the show because I promise there's a sports tie-in. Let me ask this question, though. Should you be allowed to steal first in baseball? Think about that for a moment. Should you be allowed to steal first?
Like I just drop my bat and run to first. I don't want to swing!
should you be allowed to steal first in baseball?
Oh, new rules. Yes.
Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Was not at the Glorious House of Games today.
No days off. I made my illustrious return after like 2 weeks.
Did you? Were you there this morning?
I was. I got a good workout in, and I saw your trainer.
Uh-huh.
You left some stuff out yesterday.
About what? My leg day?
First of all, you had leg day.
Yeah, I had a really bad leg day. I'm limping all over the place today.
He told me he's going to give you 3 leg days and the 2 days you get there.
Yeah.
I also brought up, I was like, yeah, yesterday we brought up how I have a planner and Dirt doesn't remember anything and he skipped your housewarming party.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, yeah, he skipped my housewarming party and the other hangout. And I bought us Timbers tickets and he skipped out on that.
He did, yeah.
And I said, oh.
That's why I have 2 leg days. He's punishing me for bailing on a Timbers game.
I get bailing sometimes. You've bailed 3 times on this guy?
Okay, don't you think so bad you can't even make it up?
Hold on,
You've got to feel bad every time you go in after bailing on somebody.
Okay, hold on. First things first. Number one, I didn't bail on the party. I just forgot. Those are 2 different things. I didn't actively not go. I just totally spaced it. Okay?
You actively didn't remember it.
There are conscious things and unconscious things. That was an unconscious bailing, okay?
Because it wasn't important to you.
No. No, that's not it. That's not it. I just said no to say no. That's not it. I just don't remember things. I do this all the time. I was supposed to go to my cousin's concert, I think, on Sunday night. And I totally forgot about that, too. That's just how I am as a person, okay? The other one was he bought tickets before confirming, like, can you go? Like, he said, hey, let's go to the game, and then just bought a ticket. And it was like, all right, I'll see if I can make that work. And then I told him when I bailed on the first soccer game, I said, what about the game on July 13th? And he said, yeah, I don't know, maybe. And there was no conversation about it. So I had a round of golf on Saturday and a barbecue to go to.
Wow.
So then he texted me on Friday and was like, hey, are we going to the game tomorrow? I was like, well, no, I didn't hear from you. I got plans now. We never confirmed this. Okay. This is not completely my fault. I'm mostly to blame here, but I'm getting painted in a bad light.
I think you made him tear up a little bit because he bought tickets with his hard-earned money and you said, no, I'm good.
There's like 80,000 people on that wait list. Those are easy to resell. But I am paying for it with a couple of leg days this week. Okay, let's get to this. Should you be allowed to steal first base in baseball?
Yeah.
You already can. It's just a specific situation, so they're expanding the situation.
Drop third strike is when you can do it.
Oh, that counts as a steal?
Yeah.
That doesn't count as a steal.
That's essentially what you're doing.
Yes. If there's a drop third strike, you can run.
Stop.
Run to the base.
I have 2 baseball guys telling me 2 different things. I know that you can run to first on a third strike, wild ball, whatever. He's saying
it's call them wild balls.
He's
like
saying
that.
It's a steal. You're saying it's not.
Does it count as a stolen base? No. No.
Okay. It's not a stolen base.
No.
Okay. Well, then I think that's just what they're calling it. But in terms of what happens on the field, if a catcher does not catch a ball, it gets past him, wild pitch or passed ball, and any pitch, you can go to first. That's what's being proposed and implemented in the League or whatever that thing is.
So if you don't know what the Atlantic League, it's basically a de facto test dummy for Major League Baseball.
Sure, right?
Like Major League Baseball goes to them and says, hey, we want to try this, and you're doing it. So if you haven't been following lately, they have used robot umpires, which, by the way, exactly the same as human umpires.
Yeah.
They're missing the same amount of calls.
They still got to work on the technology because
there's no difference so far.
They were having problems. The signal wasn't getting to the ump's ear very quickly.
No, this is true. There was just a story on it.
They used it in the All-Star game.
Yeah, they used it in the All-Star game. They're trying these out. And there's already a story out about like the percentages of correct calls are exactly the same as human umpires. There was a guy that got rung up on a strike three that went viral the other day that was a foot below the strike zone.
How?
And he's like, wait a minute, what?
It seems insane.
He didn't even know who to yell at, though.
I just watched the greatest tennis match of all time.
Okay.
How does their replay get it 100%, which, by the way, it's about a ball hitting the line being inside the line.
It's not easy to judge, right?
How can they not have this technology for baseball but have it for tennis?
You'd think if you were going to try it out, you wouldn't make the Atlantic League or suffer through having random pitches called strikes by a robot.
I don't feel bad for the Atlantic League. They're living the life they chose.
But it's literally baseball, yeah.
If you set a digital square,
it's an independent league,
and say this is the strike zone, and sure, maybe it has to raise for tall guys and shorten a little bit, but it's like the same box.
Sure, some boxes are bigger than others.
How are we struggling with this with technology? Seems odd.
I'm in agreement with you, Brandon Sprague.
Yes.
Okay, I'm in agreement with you.
I am glad they're testing it, actually using it, because sure, we need to find out if it can work or not. Theory is theory, but let's. So if the Atlantic League guys have to suffer, sorry.
Okay, explain the first base here. Because if I have two pitches and I can just run to first, I might try that sometimes.
You would, right? So here's what's going on. So they have robot umpires. They also announced a whole bunch of new rule changes last week. So in order to make a pickoff throw, you have to step off the rubber now. So that's mainly for lefties. You have to step off the rubber in order to throw your pickoff. Every batter is allowed a foul ball on a bunt with two strikes. Right now, if you bunt with two strikes and it's a foul ball, you're out. They give you an extra bunt. I don't know why that's necessary. And also, the batter is allowed to steal first base on any wild pitch or pass ball. So if you go up to bat and the first pitch is a curveball in the dirt and it goes between the catcher's legs, it's not ball one. You can decide to drop your bat and run to first.
I'm 1,000,000% on with this.
And guys are doing it.
Yeah.
You think this is a good idea?
Sure.
First pitch of the at-bat, just go ahead, take first.
Run. Because there's a good chance a catcher's going to get it and throw you out anyway.
I mean, not if it goes to the backstop.
Yeah, sometimes the backstop bounces off and you get a ricochet. Look.
This happened for the first time. There was a guy, I think it was the first pitch of the at-bat, bottom of the sixth, scoreless game, and it was the Blue Crabs, the Southern something Blue Crabs.
Oh, everybody's got some Blue Crabs.
A big Blue Crab fan. He took off, and he was safe at first.
The rubber thing, whatever. The bunting one, I don't know about that. I'm okay with this pass ball on a pitch. Yeah. Go to run first if you want.
You think you should be allowed to steal first base during a game?
Because it's no different. If you have a runner on base, he's going to steal the base, right? If the pitch goes past the catcher.
Because he's already on base. He got on base by getting on
but
base.
But I'm okay with kind of like saying, hey, don't suck so much. I'm much more open.
So if the hitter swings and misses at one pitch, should he just be out? Because you're penalizing him for one bad swing. If he swings and misses at a bad pitch, we just...
No, because
he's out.
There's three strikes. There's three strikes.
Well, then why should there only be one bad ball for a pitcher allowed?
Why shouldn't there be? You need to be more open-minded, Andy.
I don't need to be more. My mind is closed, and this is stupid.
I'm with you.
Wow!
Why? How?
The last thing I said I liked, you both just destroyed me for 10 minutes.
No. One, I don't think you're going to have as many players doing this in the course of a game, especially major league games, because teams don't want, like, if Bellinger's up there, you want Bellinger to swing the bat.
This is what we want to see is guys who you're excited to watch their at-bat. You throw a curveball in the dirt. Instead of getting to watch their at-bat, they just take first base.
Second,
because we all loved watching Barry Bonds get intentionally walked.
Let me go real quick. You won't worry about this, and it's not going to be a problem. You know why?
Why not?
Because Kristen Yelich can rake.
Yeah.
He's not running to first. He's going to continue the at-bat.
There's no guarantee in that whatsoever. He's a left-handed hitter, so he's already 3 feet further than a right-handed hitter. And you're telling me if a ball goes to the backstop and ricochets away on the first pitch, and he could easily walk to first base, he's not going to do it?
Are they down two in the ninth, and he's at bat, and there's a runner on base? Because he's going for
maybe
the,
there's
now
certain
you have
situations,
to go ahead and run at the plate.
But not with the modern analytics that say we need our 3 through 6 guys to produce runs. There might be a certain situation, but no, other than your leadoff guys, plus then you got slow guys, you know, your backup catchers and whatever that are going to get thrown out, so you don't want to give up an out. I think it would be utilized far less than you think. The other thing is it's forcing pitchers to get closer to the strike zone. And it'll actually move the game along. Pitchers can't just waste pitches by throwing one in the opposite. Yeah.
Okay, but
I'm for this.
I don't know if you probably don't have this stat, and that's okay. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I probably don't. What's
How many pass
stat?
Balls do you get in a game?
I mean, there's probably
on average one.
Yeah, well, two maybe. I mean, it depends on the pitcher though. Guys will throw scuds all the time. They're not trying to waste a pitch. Guys will just sometimes hop a curveball 58 feet.
Well, I know. I'm talking about pass balls, though. Like, they
actually
go past the
catcher. Yeah, that can happen. It's not easy to stop a curveball in the dirt. Like,
I get it.
They can squeak by catchers from time to time.
What do you think the average is a game? One or two?
Joe Kelly just threw one 5 feet over the catcher's head the other night. Like, go ahead, take first.
I just don't think it also happens as much to warrant not being open to this. Because I don't think every pass ball is going to mean a guy's going to run to first.
I think we need a field trip to the Atlantic League is what I think.
See how the game flows when a guy steals first when it's a 1-1 count.
I'm not automatically opposed to that one. I'd kind of like to see it. Do that in the All-Star game. Spice it up.
I would be cool with that. That would actually get me to watch the All-Star game. Just like if the NBA had any rule changes they wanted to try, the All-Star game is the time to do it.
Yeah, put a 4-point shot in the All-Star game.
Yeah, or you want to play the FIBA rules where you can goaltend.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that, too.
By the way, the funny part about this, hold on, let me find this really quick. Because this was, I saw somebody tweet about it. It was Scott Sepage. Because he used to, I think, keep book for the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes. So they score this. Are you ready for how they score this? In the book. Because this applies to stats and ERAs and run score and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted, the rule itself is kind of dumb, but it's not close to as dumb as the way they score it. They call this an 0-1 fielder's choice.
Yeah.
So it actually hurts your batting average and on-base percentage. You lose batting average points and on-base because it's counted as a fielder's choice.
It's equivalent as reaching on an error.
A fielder's choice, because if it's a fielder's choice, you can count as an earned run. So it comes around to count as an earned run for the pitcher. If you get on via an error, that doesn't count as an earned run.
Well, that'll keep guys from doing it once they figure that out.
You just seem to be generally hating.
Why?
Every...
Why? Why is this necessary? When was the last time you were watching a baseball game and there was a pass ball and you thought to yourself, you know what would be really cool if he could run to first base right now? I would love that.
When I was 10 going against Eddie Koons and he was terrifying me and I just wanted to run to first.
Just for all of your arguments, I hope that this now, and you're done with it, but if your kids end up playing baseball, I hope they bring this rule to Little League.
Well, they play softball, so they wouldn't worry about this.
But use it in softball too. Same rules apply. Bring
different
it to
genders.
Softball. Every pass ball.
Different genders,
go
different
ahead
rules.
And take first base. This is ridiculous.
Boy, you hate this.
Well, this is not necessary in any way, shape, or form. Why? Are you fundamentally changing the way at-bats could work for no reason?
I expected you to not like it. I didn't expect you to hate it.
This is ridiculous.
This is like starting a runner on second in extra innings.
Yes,
it's the same level of hatred for you.
Yes, it is.
Someone said, this is dumb. Let's move on.
I agree. You guys are idiots. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fit is as low as $9.95 per month.
Oh, Sprague and Swag clearly know nothing about baseball because like this.
No pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. That's right.
Those are always
Educate
my favorite.
Yourself, okay? Hey, are you into feet? We'll start the final hour there. ACC Network, and we have a couple of NFL notes still to get to. Load a final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.